Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a really amazing selection of other podcasts indicative of the recruitment market and the business market, for whatever reason you're listening now, we just want to say thank you for choosing us. We couldn't do this without our sponsor and our partners. We're going to talk about them a little bit later on in the show, but thank you to Pager, our sponsors, and our partners Inclusion Crowd and Needy. And without further ado, let's jump in to get to know this week's guest.
This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And this week, I am thrilled to be joined by a fellow Man City fan. Don't turn off if you're not a Man City fan. I'd only just found that out, that we've both followed them for a very long time. This is Matt Hanley, and he is a specialist business owner within the print and packaging sector of a company called M2 Consultancy. And if you actually go and look on YouTube, or you can see his profile on LinkedIn, there's a little clue on his brand colours as to what he does. Very interesting, actually. But during this episode, you'll find out what he's like in terms of getting to become an industry expert, how he thinks AI and tech is transforming his business, or is it not? At the end of the day, we all have print and packaging in our lives. It's not going anywhere. But most importantly, the bulk of the conversation today is what it's like to actually be a working dad and as a business owner, but also when he was an employee, what he thinks working dads need in terms of support from the recruitment community. So listen up, because this applies to everybody, whether you're a parent or not, whether you're a caregiver or not, what we can all do to support working dads. So let's jump straight into this week's episode.
We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes. And for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode.
This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And sometimes you need to keep chipping away at somebody to get them to come on your show. This is to our wonderful community today, our guest's first appearance on a podcast, apparently. But I'm sure it won't be his last after today. And I'm sure you're going to love getting to know him. Down to earth, true and honest, somebody that I've been connected to for a very, very long time, I think. This is Matt Hanley, and he is the founder of M2 and fellow, I think, just dead honest, working parent. Welcome to you today, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. So there'll be lots of people, because we've got a global community. We are genuinely across the whole globe, which is very exciting. Who are you and what do you do?
So, as you said, I'm Matt Hanley. I'm first and foremost, I'm a dad of three. And
wow. I've
got three lads, 9, 7 and 3. I also run M2, which is Matching Talent with Opportunity. I'm in my 14th year of recruitment, so
wow,
seen it go through lots of different change and progression and things like that. So, yeah, now in a spot to probably nearly 3 years in to doing this.
So were you a post-COVID launch?
2021, July 2021. Yeah. So it was actually Freedom Day.
Was it literally Freedom Day?
Actually, Boris let us all out, yeah.
Wow, that's when you think back, it went on for so long, didn't it? And for those who don't know what M2 do, what's your business? What's your speciality?
Yeah, so we solely look at print packaging and signage. Like I say, I've done that for probably the 13 or the 14 years print packaging, signage. We don't then niche inside of that. We look at every role that any company would need to hire. So just add value by really being able to.
So without sounding stupid, print packaging and signage. So signage could be on shop front.
Exactly.
Print and packaging could be my Costa coffee cup.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, literally. So it's everything.
Signage, it's everywhere. Shop fascias, window displays, wayfinding, architectural signage.
Cars,
yeah.
Everywhere.
Business
so
cards.
You're, when you say you don't niche, so this could be you literally placing a designer and then a salesperson, automation engineer. I mean, just it's so vast.
Yeah, it's I kind of call us like niche and specialist generalists. It's a bit weird. But the clients love it because they know that they're getting people from their industry because it's a technical industry.
Of course.
If someone is coming from that industry, then they're always miles ahead of anybody that's not, which has its positives and its downsides. But you need one of the most obscure ones is an embroidery machine operator in Blackpool, which we were
applying.
All the way through to sales directors, MDs, and everything else in between.
You're not similar to what I do at Key Recruitment because we say we're niche generalists. We just recruit recruiters, but we do it across every single industry, and therefore we're not just because you get some recs who do just technical or just education or whatever. But we work across every single market and every single industry. And again, if somebody's a good recruiter, we think that generally we can probably place them anywhere because it's a skill set, right? So that I love hearing that. What attracted you to the market? Was it just you fell into that industry, or?
No, it was purposely chosen. Before recruitment, I worked for a purchasing consortia. Selling the idea of a purchasing club and procurement club to independent healthcare organizations. And one of the suppliers, one of the verticals was print. And I just got on really, really well with all three of the suppliers that we had. And I just found it pretty cool going out on joint visits with them. And so I then fell into recruitment. And
obviously.
I was like, and then I had an opportunity to start a desk completely from scratch. And I just got a buzz from the people that I used to work with. So chose that.
I didn't know you came from a procurement background.
Yeah. So I did that for maybe 2.5 years beforehand. And I was really young then. I was probably 18, 19.
Wow, very young.
National sales role. So I was up and down the country and it sounded really glamorous to all my mates. But when they were going out on a Friday night, and I'd be like, oh no, I've just driven back from bloody Devon.
I'm knackered.
Yeah, I'm not good. I'm staying in. I just decided to kind of go into something else.
More office based. I'm intrigued by the procurement side because I think that it's got a lot of transferable skills. It's not necessarily an obvious thing when I think about entry-level recruiters. I think procurement's got really good transferable skills. I don't know if you know Steve Guest. He came from a procurement background.
I don't know.
He wrote How to Be a Top Biller. He's quite prolific. He's based in the Midlands, and he's not your typical recruiter either. He's very astute. He's very calm. He's not like your salesy, which I think has always been this stereotypical recruitment. Why do we all get cast under the same cloth? Because I think procurement actually has a lot of, benefits and advantages from a commercial point of view that actually would, if we all had that background, recruiters would probably be seen as much more professional.
No, I agree. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't in the buying team or anything like that. I was like a business development manager, so I still sales, but I sort of had much more of that kind of understanding and the commerciality of
process.
It's really
good background. So in terms of your industry, obviously that impacts every single person every single day. How are you being impacted by, the threat of AI, robots, tech? Where are you in the market at the moment?
So like 10, probably when I first started, and I started and I'd made the desk like a success that it was. I did it at Genesis in Wilmslow. I don't know if you know them. So I stayed there for probably 18 months, and everyone was like, "You're doing print? Like, print's dead." And 14 years later, I've now set up my own business specifically dedicated to that. So it's always going to be here. It's always going to have a place. That tactile kind of feel of something, seeing something and enticing people into shops. And it's an emotive world. So AI in tech 100% has its place. And you only have to go to airports and railway stations and you see like the big moving screens and things like that, which are cool. But also next to it, you'll see a massive tension fabric Apple iPhone like advert type thing, and the amount of print that is there without you even noticing is phenomenal. So if you're not in it, then you don't realize the size and the scale of it.
I mean, even now, just my brain is going, I'm thinking of all the, you know, things like Innocent smoothie packets. You know, it's part of your brand awareness. Actually, what goes on your packaging. Now, I've always been fascinated by the industry. You know, I've actually interviewed one of your competitors a few years ago. She came on the pod, Dani Novak. She came on, and I know that, yeah, she's been in the industry a long time too. So I've always been really fascinated, and I think it's an incredible industry. And I think, like you say, it's one of those that I don't know if you can say anything is sort of totally recession proof, but we're always going to need it. You know, how else would you possibly have given me my drink from Costa Coffee today? I couldn't have that in a virtual cup, could I?
Product placement. There you go.
I know. That wasn't intentional. No, I'm not on any, not on any commission. So one of the reasons that I wanted to invite you on today is that I think we're very slow to cheerlead on behalf of working dads. I mean, obviously I'm a working mum. I've always championed working parents per se, and actually very proudly have the stat that, you know, historically my business has always placed working parents flexibly, even pre-COVID, about 25% of my business came from that. Because I've just always pushed back on the fact that you can still do the job. But I don't think the voice of working dads has been heard enough. And I think that you're an amazing advocate. So talk to me about, you know, how life is. You've got three boys. And I don't know if your wife's involved in the business or whether she works full time, but just talk to me about where you see the landscape in recruitment right now for working dads who are employed and then as a leader.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I remember being employed and having three boys, and it's even previous bosses that have families and children, and they understand that, I don't know if I can swear, but understand that
you can swear.
Thank God for that. They understand that shit happens outside of work, but still it was so frowned upon to be, oh, I need to drop them off later at the childminders because they've been sick, or like just having that, like no flexibility. I just think it's so short-sighted. And actually, to be totally honest, I never had the ambition to set up my own company. I really, really didn't. I got to the last place, and I thought, I'm not getting anything here other than a paycheck. I'm not learning anything. I've not got the freedom or the autonomy to do what it is that I want. And it's just, I'm just working for you. All well and good. So an opportunity came to set it up, and it was literally a month before Hugo, my youngest, was turning one. And everyone was like, are you mad? You've got three kids, you've got a mortgage, you've got a missus. I'm like, but I'm using that as motivation.
Yeah.
What if it goes wrong? Well, what if it doesn't?
Yeah. It's risk versus reward, isn't it, right?
I'm a decent recruiter. I'll be able to find a job in a heartbeat without sounding too egotistical.
No, not at all.
But it was just it was a bit of a euphoria moment for me. And then I set up on the 19th of July 2021, which coincided with Freedom Day, but also it was the first day of school holidays. And I had an office in my, I call it a summer house. Everyone takes the piss and calls it a shed with windows. And I remember it was an absolute glorious day. And I'd like put my laptop out there and stuff. And then the kids came playing outside. They're like, dad's home. I'm like, yeah, I am, but I'm also not.
I'm working.
Yeah. So one of the first things that I did after my first couple of placements was find an office space, because I think it's great that you have that we're having more and more flexibility to be around and work from home, but I needed that separation very, very quickly.
The boundaries. Yeah. The boundaries. Yeah. I do want to come back to that. I just want to just refer back to one of the first things you said, because I think this will, when I think about our audience, Matt, just to explain, is as well as being global, it's very hard to know exactly who's listening, other than the feedback we get. And I refer to this in most episodes. It tends to be leaders, or those that are aspiring to be leaders, or those that are already leading companies, and those who are at the start of their journey, or on that sort of, you know, they're on the curve of getting experience, and, you know, even the likes of you and me, just, you know, been doing it a long time. And there will be somebody listening. I would say it's the one listener, another working dad, who literally was empath with you when you said that about, you know, Hugo might have been sick. You've obviously, we talked off camera that you've had somebody be sick, you know, as a dad, to go to your boss or leader or MD and say, actually, I want to leave early on Friday because my kid's playing in the school football team, or, you know, do you know what? I'm really missing out on not dropping them off at school. So 2 days a week, I'd quite like to start a bit later.
Yeah.
That actually, it is still not the social norm for a dad to ask that. It's still very much on the mum. It is. If there's a, absolutely, you know, if it's a heterosexual relationship and they're both still together. And I think the time it tends to have more flexibility offered is if it's a single parent scenario, where I interview divorcees all the time. And actually, we need to stop this stigmatization, and it should feel as inclusive to dads to go and say that and have that conversation. So if that one dad's listening now, what advice would you give them to go and have that conversation with no prejudice to their boss, if they feel like there's going to be prejudice?
I think if you feel like there more than likely is going to be prejudice. I think...
Right.
You've not been in that in the right environment, first and foremost.
Mm.
So, secondly, it's not on you. Like it's not you. It's the environment that you're in.
Yeah.
So you've got to be selfish, and you've got to do what's right for you. And if you go into your boss and it's not reciprocated, you've got to do what's right for you and your family, and that's not the environment that is right. So, I've recently we've grown. So I've got, my wife actually works in the business as well.
Right.
She works 3 days a week, doing the business support, the top and tailing CVs, chasing payments, and all that type of stuff.
Amazing.
All the stuff that us recruiters get.
What a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we've just brought Ellie on board, who has 8 years experience and things like that.
Oh, this was your competitor.
She was, yeah. Yeah,
I love that. Love it.
6 years, and she started at the same place that I did at different times. But that was one thing that I really loved about Ellie, and still do, the fact that I know that she's been taught the same way that I have, and there's no lip service. Like if you're asking for an opinion, you're gonna get it, like proper consultative. But I was thinking, oh shit, I drop my kids off at school every single day. It's what I do.
It's non-negotiable.
I'm not going to change it. And then I was thinking, oh no, now I'm going to be accountable to Ellie, and I'm going to have to change my hours. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Ellie can start at 9:30. Like when I get it, that's what I want to do. And if I hire people that have kids and want to do that, then they do. Like it's just trust people.
Has your productivity dipped since you've started doing that?
It's just an allowance. It's just, I make it work.
You make it work. And I think that's the message I want to send out to leaders listening, that, you know, it's managing expectations. That's what you've just described with Ellie. You know, the expectations are, we start at 9:30, you know, whatever you're doing up to that point, you know, you're dropping kids off, which is actually really stressful. It's not easy. It's not like you're at the gym on your own. And it goes really quick. So I just think that life is too short, and that's what you should be doing. And talking to that one individual that you mentioned before, if that is how your boss makes you feel, that you can't go and have that conversation without being judged, you are in the wrong business. You need to call me, but that's a different conversation. And I love the fact that you've almost just like removed all these barriers of, you know, complicating it. At the end of the day, we all have lives outside work, but you're fitting it around the real things that matter, which is your family.
Just because I've got children and I'm coming in at 9:30. If you don't have children, then why should you start earlier than I do?
Yeah,
because I've got these commitments. So, yeah, for me, I just trust people to do the job, no matter When it is what it is, if you hire on the like the attitude, the behaviors and the culture, then you're going to get the similar people that you want.
Do you know some of the most, one of the most successful businesses, I mean, I've done RectorEd for 22 years, and one of the most successful businesses I've ever partnered in, and that's over two decades, they were at the forefront of remote working, actually. They'd nailed it, and we're going back 20 years, and they had a team of about, I think it was a team of about 10 and a half, only worked 3 days a week. They were all working mums, it just so happened. I think they had two working dads, and they billed, I mean, even on 3 days, they were billing £300-400 a year, and I'm not joking. Because they just came in, they were focused, they were away from their children, they were focused, they did what they needed to do, and they got on with it. Yeah. And I think this is this misconception that, and bringing it back to working dads, I think that there's been, I don't want to say toxic masculinity, but that is the reality, that's how recruitment has made you feel that you need to be.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And it's not even just in recruitment, it's everyday life, isn't it? But again, I think it all comes down to those that you're surrounding yourself with and your environment. And if that's not what is working for you and your family, then remove yourself from it. Because there will be places out there. There will.
Since you've set up on your own, and you do talk about it on your LinkedIn, you're really open. I love you. I do really love your brand. It's you. Clearly it's you. It's not AI, obviously. I think you can tell the ones that are written by AI scroll past. Has anyone ever reached out to you of interest? You know, another dad or another business owner going, thank you, or like, has anyone never reached out to you?
I get a lot of people talking and complimenting about my LinkedIn, and like weirdly, I go to like I don't know, a print industry show. And, oh my god, it's Matt from LinkedIn! It's celebrity. It's pretty cringe, to be honest. Not from their side of things. From But not really. No.
Oh, well, hopefully they will after this pod, because I think what's really great about you sort of talking to you like this on camera is that you are just really, really, you're very, what's the word that I'm looking for? I've totally had a brain freeze there. You're very approachable, and you're just very true and very honest. And you just, you know, I think that a lot of people just need to know that there's somebody like you out there, whether you're in, you know, print, back, and it doesn't matter what your sector is, that there are employers out there and there are individuals out there that, you're leading the way really for working dads, because basically you're normalizing, which is the whole purpose of the podcast, is to normalize real life.
Well, shit happens, doesn't it? Leader or not, you need to have the empathy that shit happens.
You do.
It might happen, but I can't stand drama. I can't stand toxicity. I say it as it is. And if there's a problem, then we approach it and we find a resolution, we move on.
I love it. That must be from having three boys so close in age, surely. Conflict resolution.
Yeah. I mean, just this morning, we're having a house renovation at the minute, and there was only two bowls, and obviously about three kids at cereal.
Oh my God.
So they were like, I'm going first. So I was just like, right, rock, paper, scissors. And we had an electrician stood in the background, and he was just like, that's proper parenting, isn't it? I was like, well... If I said, William, you're having yours last, he'd find it unfair. So if you lose, then you last. If you win, then you go first. So, yeah.
Wow. I tell you what, eat your heart out, all these psychologists. Just listen to Matt handle his parenting. Absolutely. I hope it works when they're older. I'm sure it will. Would you let them come into recruitment?
Ready? Rock, paper, scissors.
Who's making the brew? Make your own. Yeah. Are they coming into recruitment? Is it going to be a family business? M2+3.
I wouldn't wish that on them.
Would you not?
You know what? You've got to fall into it, haven't you? I don't know.
I think if we can have more employers like you and me that are inclusive, that just are dead normal, work with integrity, partner with the right people, I actually think it's the best industry to be in. I think it's when people are greedy, and I think it's when there's toxic cultures that are, you know, they're the total apathy of everything we're talking about. I fell into it, but actually I think it's becoming much more of a destination industry and career. And actually my youngest daughter was going to, she's interned for Key Recruitment for a few months in 2023. And then she actually got, she spent some time with some of my clients, and she got about three job offers. Although she's chosen not to pursue it at the moment, because to quote her, she went, I'm 16, I'm not sitting in an office all day. She can do that when she's 23. But actually, I think if And that's why I invite people like you onto the PodMat, because I think more people need to hear the voices of normal, everyday, down-to-earth people that are not just bragging and boasting on LinkedIn about greatest deals, biggest quarters, and all that nonsense. Because actually what we're doing day to day is becoming industry experts and doing the right thing by people and living real life.
I'll tell you the truth. I've never been a massive pillar. I really haven't. Like when I was employed, I probably maxed out at, I don't know, 135, 150, something like that. Pretty consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
Never 300, 400, 500, like, hey. Because I never wanted to.
But do you know what? How many of my leaders listening now would rather have an office of 10 mats consistently billing 150 than having one person doing 300 and people scraping at 80? You will still be making money for you and the business.
Oh, absolutely. So sorry to interrupt. Go on.
No, I was about to interrupt you to say, I actually think if the recruitment world was focused more on people like you, we'd have less recruiters. We'd have less Billy bullshitters, and we'd have a better perception externally than we do.
Absolutely. And I'm like that with my clients. So Ellie's been with us, I think this is like just a second or third week, but with my name above the door, I would rather have someone that fits with like my personality and my culture of what I'm trying to do than a knobhead who's doing £500,000 that just don't enjoy coming to work with.
No.
It's not like that. And I'm the same with clients. Like all my clients, I'm just my normal self with. Like Ellie listened to me like answering the phone to one. I was singing a football song because his Arsenal team beat West Ham 6-0. And I answered it. I was like, who put the ball in the armour's net? She was like,
absolutely.
How are you talking like that? I was like, I've worked with these people for 12 years. And if they don't, they're my type of people. And then because they are my type of people, it makes the candidate process a lot more enjoyable because I know who fits with them and I know that they fit with me. So in reality, I'm just working with like-minded people.
And more importantly, they trust you.
Yeah.
Because you are that person that sings rotten songs to them on the phone. That's really funny. I think that's hilarious. That's the sort of thing I do, although I wouldn't necessarily know another team. It depends what football team you support. But I'm like that. I'm and anyone that's listening that is a client of mine will stick their hand up and say that's exactly what I'm like, that it's warts and all. I might answer the phone to them and go, Jesus Christ, I'm having a total perimenopause moment, or like today I've deleted all my apps off the phone, or I will withdraw a candidate that has pissed me off. I've done that today from a client I've known for 20 years. I mean, I've literally pulled a candidate because she's behaved appallingly, and my clients go, no, game over then, I trust you. Don't even need to hear the reason. So good for you. I think this has been really eye-opening. And I don't know if Ellie does want to come on and say hello, but I don't want to embarrass her. But I know that she was sat behind you before we had to adjust the camera, but you keep referring to her. So I think it should be you that makes the brief, to be honest with you, given she's had to put up with your singing. I don't know if everyone agrees, but it's not a live show, so we can't get a poll. But it's yay. Stop. Oh, it's been so lovely to get to know you. Thank you for agreeing to come on. And was your first pod. How did it go for you? Are you okay? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, loved it. I can talk about being a working dad until the cows come home.
Yeah, well, I can talk about being a working parent till the cows come home, because let's be honest, we deserve fucking medals. Yeah. And that's not to disclude anybody that isn't a working parent. Anyone that's a caregiver full stop, we all deserve medals. And it's a hard job. But I do just want to say to anyone that works with other working parents, go and make them a brew, please. We're knackered.
Yeah, please.
Is that fair? Just go and offer to make them a brew. We're just knackered all the time, even if we don't look it. Mike, you have been delightful. Thank you so much for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast.
Thanks for having us.
The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity, but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020. And I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society, and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell, you have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educate you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally.
Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialise in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode. We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. Now, back to the episode.